What's happening, Abuja? Well, it's good to be back, and to be back even stronger, to go headlong with all those issues that have to do with us in the FCT. So, let's get it rolling. Join me once again as we talk on What's Happening, Abuja. The mayor welcomes you back.
We're having the biggest conversations in Abuja right now. Join the talk on 95.1 Nigeria Info, Abuja. Let's talk, let's talk.
Nigeria, of course, every issue that has to do with the road and, of course, vehicles goes through a number of organizations. But for us today, we are very, very honored to host the Vehicle Inspection Service and, of course, the headquarters here in Abuja, where we know them as the Directorate of Road Transport Services, right? That's the Directorate.
Road Traffic Services,
under the FCTA. We have the head, Public Relations and Enlightenment, here with us, Officer Kalu Emetu. Good morning, sir. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So for many years, a lot of people had issues distinguishing between the rules of engagement of the VIO and the Federal Road Safety Corps. Is VIO a federal organization? Are they domiciled in the state? You know, who does what on the roads? If I see a VIO officer, what do I expect of him? If I see a road safety officer, what do I expect of him? You know, and all of that. For a long time, the lines were very blurry. It wasn't very clear, the distinction. But these days, there's been a better understanding of what the directorate does, what its scope is, and what it's trying to do amongst people. First of all, if you would want to give a clearer distinction to the background I've given, what would you say to that concerning your work and what your scope is?
Thank you so much. First of all, say it's a compliment for you to see people are beginning to understand what we are doing or what we are expected to do. The Directorate of Road Traffic Services is an agency of the Federal Capital Territory Administration. It's under the Transport Secretariat. Many people find it difficult. Some will go as far as telling you that they are on their own, they pay themselves, all those things. That is not true. Like I said, it's an agency of the Federal Capital Territory Administration. Now, talking about the mandates of the directorate, let me tell you that traffic matter is a state matter. Just like you said, it's domiciled in the state. Every state has its own. That's why it's popularly known as Vehicle Inspection Office. Every state has it. In Abuja, it is called Directorate of Road Traffic Services. You can hear other names in other states, but they are all vehicle inspection officers. But we've gone ahead of vehicle inspection. In those days, VIO officer will stop you and look at your vehicle, tell you the condition, judge you based on what he sees on that vehicle. But this time around, we go beyond that. You see VIO or VIO personnel directing traffic. You see him doing so many other things. Apart from registering vehicles, administering vehicles in the state, they go as far as register them, do all the things in such a way that people will find it easy to identify a particular vehicle. if a vehicle is used for anything, it can easily be traced. You talked about number plates being defaced. Number plate is made in such a way that it is readable even as far as 100 meters.
Yes.
When it becomes difficult to achieve that, it becomes a problem. That is the first thing you are talking about. When it's like that, what you expected to do is to report back to the authorities. The same place you got the first time. Report back to them. They will replace it for you. It's just a little token you pay. The reason why you have to do that is you have a lot to benefit from it. Just like the number is for identification. When somebody can't read it, if anything happens, he can hardly trace it to you. We always encourage motoring public that it is important they have a number plate that identifies that vehicle. That number is linked to the VIN, that vehicle identification number. The one that the producers of that vehicle
gave it.
Some call it chassis number. Some call it vehicle identification number. That is VIN. When we are registering such a vehicle, we link it to that one. When the number plate is mentioned, it can easily get to the VIN number. Like you want to do anything with your vehicle in an office. Once we get your vehicle number, we link it to the vehicle identification number. We trace it to the owner. That is why in Abuja, you don't sell your vehicle and say you've sold the number, because it includes your name, your address, and the vehicle itself, which is why I'm talking about the VIN number. When you have all these things, when you are selling your vehicle, the best thing you do is sell it together with that number and ask that person to go and do change of ownership. When that is done, your identity is removed from that vehicle, change it to the new owner. That is how it's done. But some states, you say it when you sell, you can withdraw the number plate. You still do the same change of ownership, because no matter where that vehicle is registered, your identity is there. Everything that concerns you is in that registration, likewise that of the vehicle. So you will not say and tell the person, forget about it, just go. Because if that vehicle is used for anything, it can be traced to
back to you.
That is why you are encouraged to make sure that whoever you are handing over that vehicle to, is expected that the person goes to the authorities to do the change of ownership.
Wow, very important stuff you just touched on, and you know, it brings up questions concerning you know, the state having the VIOs, vehicle inspection offices, domiciled in the states and under their transport departments. So is there a database that links up vehicles registered, say, in Plateau State to the vehicle inspection office in the FCT, for instance? If the vehicle was registered in Plateau,
yes,
and brought to FCT and is now in FCT, you are renewing your papers here and all of that, does it harmonize the database? Or is the vehicle, you know, registered in another state, can it be brought here and then the numbers removed and then you re-register fresh here in the FCT? Is that possible?
It's slim. Why I'm saying it's slim is the number that is registered, you bear it like that. But we can accept to
renew.
To change the number for you when it has any security
issues.
If you come to us and report that people are trailing you because of with that number, we'll listen to it.
Okay.
But for you to just come and say you want to change it, we'll find it difficult.
Okay.
Because already there must be a reason why you want
to change
it. Why
you should want to change it.
Yes. That very reason why you want to change it may not be in line with what the law provides for.
True.
Even when you write such a letter to us, we have to investigate. We expect you to go to the police, bring all the necessary documents. They will, the letter or the authorization from the police will be the reason why we will accept to change it for you. But when that is not done, we'll find it difficult to do it for you.
Mm. Okay.
The second leg of your question is whether it can synchronize with the way it was registered in Plateau State.
Do you have a database that harmonizes all the states in terms of registration of vehicles, or each state has its own database?
Each state has its own database.
Wow.
But we sent all of them together to central database.
Okay.
When you come to Abuja, once you renew your vehicle document in Abuja, we have the information concerning that vehicle. So that's why you're encouraged, where you are, try and make sure that your vehicle is known in that area.
Mm.
The first time you bring it, you may say it has not expired. There's no need for you to meet the authorities. Mm. If anything happens at that time, you still go back to the state where you were. But if you have done it in Abuja, as a resident of Abuja, it will be easy for the authorities here in Abuja to say, yes, we know this vehicle. Look at how it is. Mm. We know the owner, even where the owner lives, and his contact number.
I mean, so some people will say, does that also mean that number is not valid? If I bought a car from Lagos and I'm here in Abuja, and for instance, the paper is due by December, and I say, let me wait till December. Does it mean it's not valid? Does it mean that any of your officers on patrol can stop me and say, since this guy is in Abuja, what you have, that paper is not valid?
No. Nobody will say that.
Okay.
As far as the document you have is still valid, nobody will disturb you. Nobody will say you are not supposed to be on the road until when it expires.
Mm.
Once it expires, that very day it expires, you're expected to renew it.
Mm.
You are not supposed to wait till that very day. That's why the information we give is 1 week or 2 weeks.
Ahead of the expiring date. And no moratorium. If it expires, no 1 day extra.
Even a minute.
If
it's 12 midnight, once it's a minute past 12, somebody can impound that vehicle.
Mm.
Because once it expires, it's not supposed to be on the road.
All right. There's a talk on a new enforcement on this, on defaced number plates. What does the directorate want to achieve with that? How are you going to go about it?
It's like the explanation I gave earlier.
Okay.
Your number has a lot to do with you. Your number has a way of telling the public who owns that vehicle or what that vehicle is up to.
Okay.
Now, when it can be identified,
yes,
it becomes a problem, not only to you, the owner, but also to the public. Somebody can easily use the vehicle that the number is defaced to commit any crime.
Absolutely.
And it will be difficult to trace such person.
Mm.
So that is why we are insisting that once you have a defaced number plate, you must have to go and replace it.
So is the directorate giving people time and saying, 2 weeks for anyone who has defaced number plates, come to the office and report now before an enforcement? Or was there a period like that ahead of this time that people did not really know about?
That's why we started the enlightenment long time ago.
Okay, when did it start?
Educating the public.
When?
For a long time we've been doing it.
Okay.
What we try to achieve is for people to be aware of what the traffic regulation is all about.
Okay.
When you claim not to know, you go back to the court, they will tell you it's not an excuse.
Mm.
We have been trying to educate the public. When you have a defaced number plate, there is the need for you to go and change it. Don't wait till the time you are caught.
Mm.
As a responsible citizen, once you discover that what you are doing is not in line with the law, the next thing you need to do is to correct it. The way you correct it is to go back to the authorities and tell them that my number plate is defaced. I don't think, or I'm not comfortable to continue to use it this way. That is when you are proving that you are a responsible citizen.
Mm. Mm.
Some people wait when somebody confronts them. You see, it's not that people derive joy to enforce certain things.
Yes.
When laws are not enforced, it's as good as such law does not exist.
Absolutely.
So we try as much as possible to enlighten the public, to tell them that this is what is right. Do that, and as far as it's the right thing.
All right, our guest has been the public relations officer for the VIO here in the FCT, all the way from the headquarters of the Directorate of, for Road Transport Traffic Services.
When do you want to touch?
I don't know about transport. Maybe I'm going to the transport business later. maybe.
It's open for everybody.
All right, so we see quite a number of messages are coming in, and of course we know that you would also want to call in on the show to ask a few questions. The officer I met is with us here this morning and is shedding light on some of the issues that has to do with our engagement with the VIO. Maybe we should put out the numbers and take some.
All right, you can reach us via phone this morning, 0700-951-0000. WhatsApp is 0300-329-30137. And let's see, who do we start with this morning? Hello? Okay. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, the officer and the studio.
Good morning.
You've really enlightened us. My name is Jimmy Dika. I'm calling from Lube. What I really want to find out, sir, when we're giving clarification and expiration dates on our papers, I've come to find out that, for instance, if my paper is expiring on, say, the 12th of September, and I come to your office to renew on maybe on the 6th, in order to get it done early, I'll be renewed and given a date of expiry for 6th, the date I came to renew, and I'll be shortened by 6 days. So most times we prefer to hold on till around that 12th, and by that time will be choking you. Now you say that you don't even give him up to a minute, to a day grace.
I'm telling you.
How do we solve it? Because I don't think it's proper that if my paper is running on the 12th and I come on the 6th, it's just like somebody's rent expiration. That I paid on the 6th does not mean that my paper will expire 6th the next year, and then I'll lose it. So how do you address it, sir? Thank you.
It's like what I was saying earlier. When you lose a day, for you, you may feel that 24 hours is so much. But when you missed the very time you are supposed to renew it, and something happens, like you are in a hurry, you are taking somebody, say, hospital, where all your mind will be that you are rushing to that place and you are stopped. The way you look at it is that very person who stopped you is a wicked fellow, because we encourage our officers not to listen to any explanation at that point in time. But we try as much as possible to bring human face to it.
Okay.
We still encourage them, when you see certain situations, use your brain. But on your own part, instead of waiting for it to be expired already, do it 24 hours to the time. That is why we remind you 2 weeks before the expiration date.
What of expiration that happens maybe on a weekend? It happens on a Friday and there's no office to go to till Monday, and they stop me on Sunday, because some days, some of your patrols happen on Sunday, during the weekends as well too, sir.
With the question you are asking now,
yes,
we went as far as opening up our website in such a way that you can sit at the comfort of your home or your office to renew the paper. You don't need to come to the office.
I see. That's new, sir.
When you
the website before you leave, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
When you renew it like that, nobody disturbs you. We understand that sometimes it expires on a weekend, but what you do in a situation like that is you go online and renew it there,
which is available at every time.
Every time.
Okay, would that be the selfservice.drts.gov.ng?
Yes.
That sounds really good. Let's take another call and see what questions would come through.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, morning. Fortunate. Carlo, you're welcome, sir.
Thank you,
is
my brother.
Destiny Anthony?
Yeah, this is Chigozie calling.
Chigozie.
My name is Chigozie.
Okay,
Chigozie. Yeah, my question is, this is the agent of government, and I don't know, why are they working on Saturdays and the Sundays? Let me say Saturdays.
Chigozie, does the government wrap the road? Do they wrap the road and take it away on Sundays?
Okay, I'm also coming. And another one is, why are they still working by sometimes 5 o'clock, sometimes 6 o'clock? You see,
no, 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 no. You see, he needs to be enlightened.
All right.
And that is why I'm here.
Let's go ahead.
Chigozie is 100% correct.
Mm.
It's not even 5 p.m. Till 9 p.m., we are on the road. Call us around 10, you will get us. The fact is that our job is all about safety. You will not say because it's late, you forget about what you are supposed to do, leaving the road bare for accident to happen. Our men are always there, 24 hours. The only thing is we are not armed. When we feel that it's late, we return to the office. But call us, we will respond. What he's saying about weekends, yes, some people don't work on weekends. Our job is about safety, like I said. We will not say because it's weekend, let's leave the road. So we're always there.
It's just like saying...
So some people will tell you that they are there looking for papers, checking papers. It's not just about papers. We look up, look at the vehicle condition. We try as much as possible to see whether that vehicle is fit to be on the road. That's why we always after rickety vehicles.
Absolutely.
That's why we always after vehicles we feel will create problem for people. You see, some they will go and paint the vehicle, it will look very new. But our officers, we have experts that they will look at it. They will say, off the road. Once we put off the road on that vehicle, the next destination should be our office, or to your house, or to the mechanic. These three places. When we take it to our office, we inspect it. This time around, we've gone beyond the level of physical inspection. We have computerized centers. We have it all over Abuja. Four centers at the moment, and new ones are coming up. When we inspect your vehicle, it will tell you the problems that vehicle has. The next thing you do is we direct you to your technician for you to go and change all those things that are not functioning. So all these things are to tell you that we are working for the safety of the motoring public. That's why people who don't understand feel that we are only there to look at their papers or to stop them to for one thing or the other. That is not the truth.
Okay.
We are making effort to make sure that we reduce the number of crashes on our roads.
Okay, we'll take one more call and we'll go for a break. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jide. I'm calling from Kubwa.
All right, Jide, you're welcome. Let's talk.
Yeah, I just want to contribute. I noticed something that the DIO officers who are meant to enforce law on the road, if you look at the vehicles that they bring, they themselves are using, they use rickety car vehicles that the tires have worn out, and they will harass you for the same offense, telling you a whole lot of things. You understand? Now, that's number one. Number two, at the Eagle Square, your officers always stop vehicles directly opposite Eagle Square, where we have National Arcade. And when they stop you, they will stop you right in front of the zebra crossing, where it has mark the mark on the road. And another officer will take your picture of your vehicle that you have already passed the line. I think the way your officers operate at that point, it is very, very wrong. When you are going to stop a vehicle, you have to stop a vehicle before the line. But they will stay after the line and stop you there so that you will be on the line, and they will charge you. Even if your papers are correct, they will not tell you that you have already passed the line. It is annoying. Very, very annoying. I have seen I'm a victim.
Mr. Jude, let me come in there.
Jide, it's actually a conversation, so it's not one-sided. You wanted to respond to that.
Good. The officer will not stand on the zebra and ask you to stop. He will stand before or after the zebra. If you understand what zebra is, it's meant for pedestrians. You are not supposed to block it because you are driving. Everybody has his rights. We try as much as possible to protect the rights of every road user, including the pedestrians. When you block the zebra, you are making it difficult for them to move. A cripple is supposed to use the zebra. When you block it, how do you expect him to use the roads? It's like when you see some people parking on the walkway, you are also making it difficult for the people who are supposed to use that pedestrian walkway. So when we begin to enforce the law based on what the law says about such illegal parking, people say our men are wicked. You see, when you are serving the public, you don't look at a particular face. You look at everybody. It's just like the law. The eyes is covered.
Yeah.
He does not know anybody. What he does is to make sure that he administers justice. That is what we do.
That is what we do. I will hold you onto that, and I will quickly take a break. And when we come back, the conversation continues. I see the phone lines are still buzzing. When we come back, we'll head to WhatsApp first and take it from there. Abuja, don't go anywhere. What's happening in Abuja continues. Short.
Welcome back to Road Rage and the Government on the Conversation. This morning, we are hosting the PRO for the VIO. I like the way it rhymes. Good morning once again, sir. And thank you for being here with us today to enlighten us on some of these issues that we need to clarify on. We've got just 19 minutes to go and so many WhatsApp messages. Let me just read a few of them to your hearing, and then maybe you can note the areas you want to respond to, sir. As we continue on the conversation this morning, somebody says, please, can someone who is resident in Anambra, for instance, register his vehicle in Abuja? Ify boy. Well, I think that question may have been answered. Wherever you are resident, if you are here for the time being, you can register here or register in Anambra. Wherever you register, you are in Nigeria. Is whether you are now going to move to Cotonou, that is the issue. Charles Mbat says, please tell Ogaviayo in the station that his personnel are more concerned and focused about revenue generation and not the primary purpose of which it was established. Aside from that, there is a faulty traffic light in Area 11 after Ralph Shodende. The VIO personnel in Federal Secretariat always stand there to unjustly arrest drivers and extort monies on the basis that they beat the traffic light. They very well know that the traffic light is faulty, but they deliberately stand 100 meters from there to arrest drivers. He should confirm that light. Any situation like that, sir, that you may know of, or would you help us check this situation? Because this is a situation report.
Let me chip in a little there.
Yes.
Maintenance of traffic lights. Another department in FCT
handles that, yes. Absolutely.
What we do is to report to that department. This is the situation in a particular place.
Mm.
When it's like that, you see our men controlling the traffic.
Mm.
They don't allow the traffic light at that time to be the one directing. Rather, a human being will be there, which is an officer from DROTS, to make sure that there is still
free flow of traffic. But I mean, this man is talking about having been arrested.
Which is a major function of the directorate, making sure that you get to your destination within a particular real time. When we don't do that, we are always ferried. The minister is always on the road monitoring what we do. Let me use this opportunity to tell Nigerians that when they see us behaving in a certain way, they should know that that is the mandate given to us.
Okay.
We don't go outside our mandate.
So
we try as much as possible to ensure that the writing is done.
Is done. So
because
Mr. Metro,
if I may
chip in, is there room for officers who may be contravening the modus operandi of the VIO. Do you believe that there might be officers who take advantage of situations to act in a sinister manner, or does that not is that impossible for the VIO?
It's very, very possible in every community of people. You will not say
yes,
everybody
sir.
Is right.
Yes.
or everybody will do the right thing. But what we do,
yes,
or every organization that is up to implementing the mandates of such organization do is to monitor the activities of those they've posted to different positions.
Yes.
When you don't monitor, that behavior will definitely come at a, either due to pressure or what.
Mm.
But when you monitor and observe, you have your disciplinary team that will say, this thing you did is not in line with the operational procedure.
Mm.
You have to pay for it. Let me tell you as we speak,
yes,
there are people who their salary has been suspended. There are people, in fact, we have so many ways we punish offenders.
Mm.
I mean, our own officers misbehaving on the road. We have our disciplinary measures, which we met out to such people.
How do people report if such situations happen?
When you report.
How? How do you report? If you want to report, how
do you
report?
My office, public relations unit,
okay,
is always open. We have our other offices, like the Savicom.
Okay.
It's always there.
Okay.
Go there, go to any of these offices and lodge your complaint. Once you lodge your complaint, either we handle it immediately. If it's such that we constitute a panel, we do that. Just like what happened on Friday.
Okay.
A man was driving with an invalid vehicle document, which expired 4 months ago. When he was accosted, he told them that they should go with his driving license, that he's going to for something more serious than what was happening there.
Okay.
They told him no, that they are doing their work.
Okay.
The vehicle is not supposed to be on the road. A lady was assigned to take them to the office.
Okay.
The wife said she will not come out from the front seat.
From the front seat.
They pleaded with her. She refused. The lady joined at the rear seat.
Mm.
Instead of the man to move to the command, he moved to the other direction.
Mm.
The lady was begging her, where you are going is not where our office is. The man didn't care until they started struggling. That was when they stopped. It went as far as leading to fracas.
Mm.
But we thank God that the situation was saved.
Mm.
When the matter came to us, because they went as far as posting the video on air, when the matter came to us, we pointed out so many things to him. But because of the children in that vehicle, we apologized to them.
Mm.
Because of the children. But he was on the other side of the law.
Mm.
At the end of the day, we were able to resolve it.
Okay.
To tell you that we work with human face.
Mm.
We apologized because of the children. And at the same time, he said he was going to the hospital. But that does not mean that the right thing should not be done.
Mm.
What is the right thing? Making sure that you drive with valid documents.
Mm-hmm.
Your license should be up to that.
Mm.
The same thing with the vehicle particulars.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even if you go to court, they will look at all these things. Everything we do are clearly spelled out.
Mm.
At the end of the day, all the parties realized where they got it wrong. The director was involved.
Yeah.
He explained the situation to the man. He came with his lawyer. After everything, we resolved the matter. One thing is, we always appeal to every member of the public, the more trained public. We are not there to instill pains. When we are not there, any other thing can happen. We talk about safety all the time. We preach safety. And for us to achieve it, others must have to support us.
All right.
When you don't support us, we'll find it difficult to do the work.
Okay, so I wish we had all the time to just continue and continue. I mean, it's just time is just going so fast. The messages are a million messages. The calls are coming in. But the issue with bikes, delivery men, and tricycles almost taking over the city in a situation where we know there is an actual ban on bikes and tricycles. What's the VIO doing about this?
I'm happy you know there is actual ban on the use of motorcycle in the city center. This thing happened as far back as 2006.
Yes.
The enforcement has been on. There is no day our men don't get up to 40 motorcycles in the city. And once
it's impounded... You're talking about arresting and impounding them?
Impounding them.
Okay.
Once such motorcycle is picked, it ceases to be the property of that rider or the owner. What our directorate does is always to go to court and seek for forfeiture order. Court always grant it to us because it's an order, it's a law in FCT. Now, you begin to ask yourself what kind of society we are in where people don't obey simple order, where people don't obey laws. Now, we have turned our message to the commuters. In as much as you understand what the society talks about, in as much as you understand the country and you believe that you are part of the system, don't patronize these people. When you don't patronize them, they will not be in that business. Because if they feel it's only in the city center they will make all the money, they will remember that they have to go to the satellite towns to operate. There are reasons, so many reasons, why they were banned from operating in the city center. Mm-hmm. Like somebody talked about Eagle Square. Mm-hmm. That is where we have everything we can say or be proud to say, this is our country.
Yeah.
Or you will be proud
That's
to say,
I'm the Nigerian. Commander-in-Chief of the armed forces.
That is where the villa is, yeah. The presidential villa is. Yeah. You have the federal secretary there. You have the arms zone there.
Yeah.
And there is no motor park in all these places. One centralized garage there, they don't use it. The one behind the Eagle Square.
Yeah.
People would like to stop any place to pick, or they will shout area one, area this, area that. That is not how it's supposed to be. Go to other countries. You see how they respect national symbols.
Absolutely. But we also have a conversation there. If you really ask me, we've had conversations recently concerning designated bus stops and mass transit arrangements not being very, very organized in the FCT. And still that is under a department of the FCTA. Good. So if people don't have the alternatives, for instance, at National Secretariat, where is the place designated for people
That's
to...
That's why I said the garage behind the Eagle Square. You can drive in there. It's open for people to drive in there.
Free?
It's open.
It's not free.
The way garages are manned, they are made not to collect money from people there. You drive in there, you drive in, people will disembark from your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You pick those who are there. When commuters start respecting that, begin to go inside there to wait for vehicles. You see so many of them coming in, but many will prefer to stay on the road. Like I mentioned, we have our national symbols there. When the place is unkept, so rowdy, will you be proud to say you are a Nigerian? What will you be so proud of? So we always encourage members of the public, especially the commuters, don't stay on the road to ask them, stop. I'm going to so-and-so. Go inside the garage. That is when you see the beauty of the area. But when people begin to stop, even in the National Arcade, to pick and drop, it doesn't tell good of us. So when you see an officer, enforcement officer, performing his function, don't blame him. We launched what we call Operation Eagle Claw on Friday.
Okay.
That was on Thursday.
Okay.
What it means is illegal parking, just like somebody talked about the way people operate at Giri Junction there, Gishiri Junction. All these things are not right. Go to the designated areas, clear from the road, pick and stop obstructing traffic. Our mandate is to make sure that there is free flow of traffic in every part of FCT. When we don't do it, we answer for it.
All right. So
there's a conversation around it.
Yes.
It's okay. Your job is to ensure free flow of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the FCTA needs to point out places that are designed as garages where these vehicles are supposed to park. I mean, the people going to Nyanya at that secretariat side, it doesn't speak well of them. They stand there for 2 hours, sometimes a lot of people. And of course,
the very place I talked about, the garage behind the Eagle Square, if people will be moving in there, you go to Nyanya, you go to Lugbe, you go to Kubwa, from there. But many will prefer to be on the road.
Like you
most
said.
Of them will even not ready to pay anything. Rather, people that will give them lift are the ones they are waiting for.
Well, you see, the economic situation also is another conversation. That's why I say, you see, that is a full conversation on its own.
That is why transportation is such that you don't have to joke with it.
Absolutely.
It
absolutely.
Affects every
everybody,
sort of the economy.
Every sphere. Absolutely. Now, back to the issue of some of the operations of your personnel. I've seen quite a number of questions here, and I'm going to try to lump those questions into this question, you know, for instance, the illustration you gave us of the situation on Friday where your personnel had to be in the vehicle. In other climes, that's not always the situation where an officer gets into your vehicle or something like that. We see videos of personnel having to climb on a vehicle, some of them on the bonnet, some standing. Yesterday, I drove just by a situation where a VIO personnel, a very senior officer, was right. His head was in the window of a trailer, and the trailer man was refusing to stop. And he was still moving. The personnel was in there, so the struggle was on. I'm talking about a trailer, a full articulated vehicle, you know, carrying produce on, I think that was the Kubwa Road. I'm not too sure now. I was driving yesterday.
Personnel?
Yes, your personnel, VIO personnel. He's even, you know, it's the most senior personnel are the ones with the not tucked in uniform, right? His head was inside the trailer. So I was wondering, how is he going to stop a trailer?
For his own life, sir.
You know, so is there anything to also enlighten your personnel? Or are you working on more modern ways of apprehending people or getting them to your office? I know there was a period when the encoder was sold, which was supposed to have data of everyone, your particulars, and all of that. What happened to that system?
You see, technology evolves. And as it is, we've gone beyond the era of that encoder. What we do now is our men are supposed to use an app.
Okay.
Which many are using.
Okay.
When a vehicle is coming, they will know whether that vehicle has valid documents.
Okay.
Whether that vehicle has one form of problem or the other, many are using it. The few you are talking about is still the same narration we had earlier. There are those who do things the way they like. But we are watching, we are monitoring such people also. Now, in no distant time, our job will go to the level of using artificial intelligence. Just like you talked about advanced world, the discussion has gone advanced stage. By the end of the year or any, in no distant time, it's going to come into effect.
Okay.
It will be such that when you beat traffic lights, nobody will come after you. You see it on your phone, you go to a bank and pay. We are doing a lot in terms of technology. Just like I talked about the self-service. You stay at the comfort of your home and renew, register your vehicles. We did this thing within the period of the COVID-19 to reduce contact with people. We are doing a lot in the area of ICT. What we just need is cooperation for people to understand that we are there because of them. When we are not there, the level of crashes, the number of crashes we have in a day will be so outrageous. Recently, NEMA said the emergency situation they get in Abuja, over 70% happen on the roads. We are working together with them to ensure that this thing is brought down to a large extent. All these things we are doing, we'll continue to research to get the best for the people. We always encourage members of the public, the motoring public in particular, to support us. When we don't have your support, we can hardly do it well. We can hardly give the public what they expect from us. It's only when all of us work together. Right. Don't patronize these people who feel that they can only end their living inside the city center when they ride motorbike or tricycle. They have areas they've been designated to.
All right.
But
well,
they
well,
like
out
to
of town, out of time right now. Officer Kalu Emetu, head public relations enlightenment, Directorate of Road Traffic Services (FCT). We really appreciate you for today. We hope that you will indulge us again.